Hello everyone, we're back with another episode. We meaning Anwar Hadi and myself. This one has a little bit of a Ramadan-y talky-talky up front. I can't help but rant a little bit about Ramadan. Just a little bit. It's just a little bit. Specifically about that story where that lady was selling food from her kitchen appliances. But she was selling like stuff out of her washing machine and stuff. Selling food out of kitchen appliances is what everybody does if you are selling food, right? Yeah. I don't know who I'm asking. It's just me in here. Anyway, that's it. And then the second half of the reviewing numbers again. This time with some Anwar flavor. Let me know in the Instagrams if you want me to talk about something else. And I hope Ramadan has been good to you. Okay, here we go. Episode
4.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Mental Pucha Podcast with me, your host. I'm still your host. It's me, Mlekezaina. I'm your host. Host with the most, Bobo. Thank you everybody for listening in. Today we have a special guest all the way across the causeway. At great expense, we have left him there. And his name is Anwar Hadi. Please raise your eyebrows a little bit and go, oh, for Anwar Hadi.
Hey, exhale through your nostrils just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more because the boy's back. Brr.
Brr. Oh, yeah.
How's Ramadan been for you, man, in Singapore? Is it different? Is the vibe a little different? Is the same.
The vibe is different because, I don't know. Most of my days, macam the daylight times, the puasa times, I'm at work, and I work at a restaurant, so people are eating there, and they're not Muslim,
right?
So it feels like normal.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't change. Yeah.
And then at night when I finally go out, people are eating also because it's nighttime.
Well. For the listener.
That concludes the report.
For the listener, if you want to know more about Anwar's thoughts. There's not a lot of Anwar's Ramadan thoughts. So if you want to know about Anwar's particular like job pivot, more about it and some new developments, and you want to hear about me and my opinion on certain things related to that, and also a little bit of Ramadan and things, I think a little bit up top, I do. Go to the video version. There's a whole extra, I think, almost 20 minutes in there.
Go there
to the Patreon. But today, we want to focus on reviewing the numbers, but before that, it is Ramadan. So for you, nothing's changed. For me, you can look at season 3, I think it's season 3, one of the episodes where I talk about Ramadan. And also, you can go to the How to Malay episode where I talk about Ramadan as well, my particular feelings about it, and how I feel like our focus on food is wrong. And by our, I mean, you know, the Malay diaspora and also the non-diaspora. Malay people around the world, I feel like there's a focus on food that's a little misguided. So today, because I don't want to talk about stuff I don't want to repeat myself. So I don't want to talk about stuff I already talked about. So I was thinking about why this comes up so much. Because I don't do the lifestyle. I don't chatty where the best food is. I don't watch a lot of food content during Ramadan. I don't think about food much during the time where I'm not supposed to. Duh. But why am I so upset at other people are not doing it, right? So I was thinking about it, and then I've come to this conclusion that I think one of the things that really pissed me off is that it's very clear these people who do so much to get... There was a recent news, somebody in Kedah, Kelantan, this lady, makcik, who keeps food in her home appliance, like in the washing machine.
Yeah, washing machine. Yeah,
and
I saw that.
And in her whatever, and then she sells it in the daytime so that people can eat. And I'm like... Is this a problem? What?
You don't have a washing machine at home to put food in?
That's the problem. When I eat this, it doesn't taste like detergent, and I miss that feeling.
It's kekurangan softener, tambah soft lens.
Bulan puasa saya makan daripada washing machine selalu. Saya makan selalu daripada plastik hitam. Dia tak, flavor dia tak ada. Saya tak kerti nak recreate dekat rumah. Kan? Saya dapat tahu makcik ni ada jual daripada dia belakang. So I'm like, what? Look at what you've made this person do. Like, to put food in like carries places that might be bleach adjacent. She's almost killing somebody. Just because you don't want people to just eat in public. Just eat like in public. What's the problem? But even worse than that, but what I'm upset at is that these people, I'm not just upset at the disproportionate action taken. I don't think it should be enforced, by the way. Even though I kind of go at people who cannot fast in the daytime. Even though I'm like, come on guys, just do it. I don't feel bad or upset at people who are not able to. I'm pissed off at the enforcers, one, because they're doing a job that's dumb. Don't police other people's behavior that is related to God, one. But the other thing is, it made me piss off at the people who don't fast, is that it's very clearly that these people have never been poor before and they are not really trying to get to that, to get close to that feeling. I'm very used to fasting. These people are clearly never been poor before because, bro, when you're hungry, you don't climb out the back of your office window in your toilet and then you wear a baklava and then try to, you know, find, you know, do a secret knock on the restaurant door and then have the washing machine biryani. Why do so much work? It's clear you've never been hungry in your life, because like, okay, if you're proper hungry, you just take a nap, you just have sleep for dinner. I've done that so many times. It's not that hard for people to lose and like to do all this work. It's so annoying to me because now it's become a class issue. You refuse to even attempt class solidarity because you're so afraid of something that will not kill you. It will not kill you unless, you know, you have very severe health issues, then okay.
Unless it does. But,
yeah. Unless it does. You know what I mean? But there's so many people who are just doing this like cheekily. Like, hey, can you order me some extra things? Get the fuck? Be a grown up. And wait a little bit and go, oh yeah, actually I can endure. I can endure suffering a little bit. And it's fine. And especially because it's the religion of your choosing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you want them to believe in themselves a little bit more.
I want people to believe themselves a little bit more. And I want people to learn that suffering is not bad. Yeah, you should be able to choose whether or not you want to suffer, of course. But I don't like, again, this is a very specific subset of people. I don't like people who they in their attempt to hide from the people who they're scared of finding out, they do all these moves just because they can't wait for dusk, which is not that long. It really isn't that long. And also, they can't even wait in by way of, like, sleeping. Here's the thing that I do a lot to distract myself. Like, I'm not super pious. But sometimes my brain will... Sometimes I'm doing work, and my brain is like, hey, man, KFC has a new Arabian crunch. And I'm like, what does that mean, brain? I'm doing work. Like, I'm trying to, like, edit videos, and the brain is like...
Arabians deep fry things?
Yeah. They're like, hey, Arabians deep fry food. Like, shut up! I'm trying to write a joke about bananas... And then, so when that happens, I stop my work and then I go find something even more distracting than food. Which is bad also, like, it's not actually doing it. I don't know if it's bad or not. Because the thing that's more distracting is not like, oh, I go and like do prayers, I go and read the Quran. I don't do that. What I do is, I'm like, okay, let me find something to hyperfixate on. So that I don't think about this, and I'll find like a video game, or I'll go into a rabbit hole for thinking about wrestling or whatever thing I can fixate on, and then I'll just lose hours clicking through things, and then I come out of it, oh, it's dusk and I'm fine. That's what I do. And people who can't do that, who instead, you know, go out and like wear a mask, disguise their voice, learn Tagalog, and then just so that they can, you know, like, deflect the accusations. Oh, what a problem. Here's another. Okay, so this is the people. Like, if you can't fast, and you just don't. And I'm sorry if me making fun of you for not literally not be able to do it. Maybe it's true. Maybe you really cannot do. Maybe you have very low, maybe you have like a low glycemic, whatever. You're like pre-diabetic or whatever, and you have to do it. Then go ahead. I'm not making fun of you for that. And I know that some people have to do this sometimes because they have to hide from the overzealous enforcers. And in this case, I also don't like these people who will go around looking for people who are eating when they're quote-unquote not supposed to be eating. Because when you go out, and of course you'll find, you know, this washing machine nasi is and like this.
Yeah, nasi do biryani. Oh, I've been sitting on that one.
Nak putih ke nak colour?
Nak this, top load ke yeah, top load ke front load?
Yeah, top load ke front load? This
directly,
you know,
extra.
Yeah, this Clorox nasi gum. I don't know. Krabu Trojan. Yes, of course you'll find people who do this kind of thing. You'll find people who buy a lot of stuff and put them in black plastic bags or whatever. But you know that there's other ways for you to get away with it. Like, why don't you also look for people who are buying food ingredients? Because they can go home and turn that into food.
Yeah.
Why is that not something you look for?
Nobody looks at you funny if you're buying ingredients.
Right?
Yeah.
You're buying frozen food in the day, like, people won't look at you. You buy a bunch of nuggets at 12 p.m. You're not going to get caught for that. But you can also...
You buy a bunch of bok choy, nobody's going to be like, ooh, talk with you.
Yeah, even though you can, just go to your pantry and then very quickly, you know, just make yourself something and then just eat it. And and what? So these are very short-sighted. Also, I'm living in my house, right? What did I say that? I'm in my house a lot, there it is, for Possumman. And I think if you're sort of an enforcer person, you can tell by what you smell if you should raid the house. Like, okay, first of all, you would think, right, if you smell suyo or varuvel, that you don't have to catch out these houses. And you're correct. By and large, yes. If you smell something that's a little too much scallion, and like, why am I not sneezing? I can smell food, but I'm not sneezing. And then it seems very lightly seasoned, maybe very sesame oil. And
this smells sesame. Herbal.
Yeah, this smells very strongly of ginseng or like ginkgo beans. Is there? Then you can ignore it because that's the, you know, maybe Chinese people cooking. If you smell varuvel or if you smell thick, you don't know, santan. That might be a Malay person, but you're not sure. Let's say you're not sure, right? You can ignore those because you might waste your time. So ignore them, right? If you smell Malay food, you have to know what kind of Malay food you're smelling before you raid the house. First of all, you might think if you smell rendang or like masak lemak or like percik, you might think, oh, this is justified. I can break. No. These are food people make to sell also. Right? And they make it early. They batch it. You know what I mean? So they make it early and then they panaskan at the place where they sell it. It's possible. So don't bother these people. I mean, a lot of people are cooking in the daytime because they want to sell it.
Yeah.
What you should look out for is people in the afternoon and then you smell masak singgah. Or your ikan masin.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, this is a simple, quick to make dish.
Bau macam perencah Maggi.
Yeah. Bau macam sambal tumis Maggi. And then it's like,
bau macam ada orang air fry nugget.
Yeah, macam orang air fry nugget dengan bok choy. And then ada Clorox sikit. And then
so if the food
together
mixes with detergent, that's your red flag right there.
Then
that's...
you gotta go and you gotta go to the house. You have to pinpoint, triangulate where the smell is coming from. Go to the house. And then you gotta check if there's little kids' shoes in there. Because if there's little kids, then they're cooking for the kids. The kid might be, you know, maybe their favorite is the ayam masak kicap but you know, a little bit of lint. We don't know. We can't make assumptions like that. You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
Yeah. So this is why enforcing is difficult, and you shouldn't do that at all. So yeah. Anyway, if you're fasting, just wait. It's fine. Take a nap. Who's gonna get angry at you if you're taking a nap during Puasa month? Also, you know, it's gonna be fine. Just be hungry. It is so important to like remember that suffering is, suffering is something that happens, and you shouldn't be scared of it. And to inoculate yourself from this feeling, have it every once in a while. Know that you can endure the hardest things that might happen to you, because then you will be more resilient. You will be less afraid to try to risk higher. You know what I mean? I don't put it, I put it to you that maybe part of it, maybe a 0.2% of why you're brave enough to risk stuff and then go to another country you don't know and have no friends or family in, and then go work there, it's because you know that you can suffer a lot. You can endure suffering.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know that you can deal with it, and that's why you choose to do it. If you're the kind of person who thinks, oh, I don't know if I can do that, it feels like it's too big of a leap for me, I don't know, then you haven't suffered enough. You are the kind of person who, you know, understands immediately what gangpaste itam is. Remember when you had to teach me what that was? I don't know. It's so stupid. How also plastic stuff is so conspicuous. It's shiny. And nobody else would
get the matte plastic. The matte one. Don't take the reflective one.
Listen, nobody else would suddenly bawa plastic hitam everywhere. When in regular life, outside Ramadan, you never bring it out. Why are you suddenly bringing it in during lunchtime? Do you think I'm stupid? The dumbest. Only the dumbest people in the world, gentlemen.
I mean, they suffer also. It's not easy to eat food yang kuah dia ialah daya. It's not easy. That's a level of suffering.
Suffer more. You think you're suffering regular style? No, man. Double up on that. Get advanced suffering. We all need to learn to be more resilient, to take more chances, and not based on cushiness, but based on our ability to endure pain. Pain is inevitable. You can't run from it. Oh. What is it? Pain, constant work, and uncertainty. These are the three things we'll always have to be dealing with. So don't run away from hunger.
No, deal with it. Human. Embrace it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suffering is not... It's not separate from living your life. It's part of it.
Yeah. Living your life to the best of your want, your abilities, and your comfort does not exclude suffering. No. If it's not on your part, somebody is suffering for you. Somebody is suffering. Somebody's suffering for you right now.
The less you are suffering, the more other people are.
Yeah,
and that's capitalism, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, take a little bit of it. You know what I mean? You want to say, oh, I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up by all this stuff. I make it up from the privilege that of exploitation. Yeah, by giving money to charity. Giving money to charity is just 3 clicks of your mouse. Get the fuck out of here. Actually suffer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put that karmic thing into the test. Actually put your hand in the fire and see for yourself that you can endure it. Anyway, let's talk about 6.
Yeah, let's do 6.
6! This is part 2 of our reviewing the 10 base digits of base 10.
Base 10.
Zero.
Just to establish, base 10 isn't your favorite. You like base 12.
Yes, I do like base 12. Do you have to talk about that? Base 12
no,
is great.
We don't have to.
We don't have to.
But I just remembered that.
Base 12 is great. It divides into quarters more easily. It divides into threes more easily. You can use the clock easily. It is better for pi because it's no longer 22 over 7. It becomes a different number. I don't know. But it is a lot easier to manage. And you can count it on your fingers by using your... I'm doing a physical demonstration onto the camera by using their little, you know, 3 plus 3 plus 3 plus 3. That's 12.
The sections of your fingers.
Yeah, the sections of your fingers. Yeah, so that's 12. You can count there, right there. And it's not difficult to do. And 12, our base 10 is purely based on the number of fingers we have on our hands. And that's easy-ish, but it makes advanced mathematics a little tricky. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
So, 6. 2 of 6. 6 make 12.
How do you feel about 6, man? 6!
Six, the word six sounds a lot like sex, so S-tier.
That's how immediately. That's how, what, six. That's, what is that, the New Zealand accent? Six.
Ah, six.
You'd like to have six.
Can I have six on the table?
Six. Six with you.
Six folks.
Six. Six is as the word is cool, but we can't judge it based on the word. We have to look at the actual number. Yeah, I like six, the numeral, and also the idea of the number. I like six. Six is a good number for a dinner party. It's the optimal number
for a dinner party. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, because you can couple off.
That's why most dinner tables they come with six seats.
Yeah.
Two over here, yeah. one over there.
Yeah. This is great. You can, two people can be talking, you can have three sets of two, you have two sets of three, and you can have one set of four and then another set of two. Nobody's left out, and then there's like dynamics because you can like, you know, there's much more of a fun mix, and nobody's left out. It's not an odd number, but also it's not too clicky, because if there's four, that you will divide to two very easily. If there's eight, also you divide to two too easily. If it's six, the coupledom of two odd numbers really makes it. It's enough of a spicy entrant into the game as far as social dynamics is concerned. That's why I like six. People aspire to have a six pack.
Yes, that's a thing.
Yeah,
they buy six packs of beer.
Six packs of drinks, that's true. You get six buns when you buy that bun kaya thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good number, six. Mm. I do like six, but it just doesn't... even though six is the half of dozen, which I like 12. 12 might be one of my favorite numbers, is up there. But even though it's half of 12, I feel like six... Oh, you know what else? Suddenly, I just realized that makes six really shine. Mm-hmm. It is the largest number on the most common die, which is the six-sided die. Oh, yeah,
the six-sided die.
Yeah, six sides to a cube, and then you roll two sixes.
Jackpot? Six. Question mark.
Six. Like that. Six is, I don't know. Six. This is a tangent, but I told you, like, whenever there's a gambling scene in a movie, I zone out because I don't understand gambling.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
So whenever there's a gambling scene and it's supposed to be high stakes, like, they might as well just be playing, like, Uno in a different language. It sounds so stupid to me. Like, whenever, like, oh, Bond, what are you doing now? Well, you're a brave man. And then he pulls out, like, a card and is like, Mr. Handyman, this is the Captain Chicken. Two globbies. You know what that means? He pulls out three cards. You know what that means? Ah, the blippy man's jiggle butt. Then the other guy goes, ah, brave move. What? And then the guy goes, ah, two flams, three giblets, the jack of butts. And terms and conditions. And then this makes a full Campio Papa. And then the guy goes, aha! Well, I always knew you were blah blah. And then they roll a thing. And then the guy with the roulette. Brrr, what? And the music is so tense. Like I'm supposed to know something. The audience sweats. One happy family at home, Mr. Bond.
What happened? Snap. Oh, snap.
I can't just stop putting gambling scenes in a movie and not explaining what the gambling is. It's annoying. Why? It's lazy. I feel like it's lazy. Like, they just assume. Here's how, okay, if it's a real life example, right? It's as if somebody goes, it's like high stakes. And then casually people are there playing games. And then like somebody's playing blackjack, I don't know what it looks like. Somebody playing craps, I imagine it looks different. And then somebody playing poker, and then he goes, what is your game, Mr. Bond? Oh, my game is this, and then it's Mario Kart. And then that at least it'll be easy.
Yeah.
But it's as if they were playing, and then the guy gets a blue shell, like, aha, spawn, I have a blue shell. And then the other guy panics, and then is sweating. And then the audience doesn't know because nobody plays Mario Kart.
Nobody plays Mario Kart.
That's how it feels like when I'm... I see you've chosen a steel and electric type Pokemon. As you can see. Why? I thought this movie was about car chases and shooting things. Suddenly...
I see you've chosen a Lapras. Brave move against my Gengar.
So brave.
You didn't expect me to have 5 mana.
Lapras use Hydro Pump. You know he has big balls when he pulls out the Venusaur. What is even happening here? Stop gambling. Just talk.
He has a Charizard. I thought they didn't make those anymore.
Shiny Charizard. Aha, this is actually a Ditto card. He peels it off, I said Ditto at the back. If somebody did that, I'd be like, oh, these guys are such Pokemon nerds. Yeah, you guys are all such gambling nerds.
Gambling nerds.
Everybody. I'm supposed to know what a royal flush or dead man's hand or like Queen's parlor. What is this?
It's a straight flush.
Yeah. This one is a plumber's dilemma.
This is the Queen's gambit.
There's a lot, so many where they just show the hands and then the music changes. I hate that so much. No. You know what I mean? They show the cards. And then, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? I don't know. I have to just go by the character's emotions,
reactions,
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're bullying me to learn how to gamble, get the fuck out of here, please. Okay, all right. back to dice. So, I like 6 for that. I think now 6 is getting higher up there. It's positioned in the cultural conversation is pretty high because of the dice. And I like that 3 goes into 2, but a 6-pack, yeah, great. Other than that, though, I don't feel like it's going to get too high of a rating, because as a number, when it shows up, I don't feel any particular strong emotions towards it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but 6 is one half of 69. And people use that as a joke all the time. People, yeah. As in myself.
Yeah.
And it implies fun. It implies naughtiness.
It implies half cheeky. Of those things.
Ah, half, yeah. Half,
yeah, that's actually. The thing. Yeah.
6. Nothing. T9. Hello.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can rate it higher if you want. For me, 6. Ooh, B tier. Straight B.
B tier. Straight B. 6 as a shape doesn't look too stable. Because...
No. False.
The bottom of it... Oh, false.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to fall. Also, sometimes, some calculators, I think, when they do the 6, they just do a stick, and then like they look like a lowercase b. Like, it doesn't even do the hat. I'm like, yeah. Why?
Why?
Your 6, do the full thing. Do the full, you know, quarter Naruto. But no. You just do the b, lowercase b. You know the rest. What? I know the rest of all these other letters. The other numbers,
you know what
too,
you pressed.
Yeah, you know what it is. I don't have to. B. Come on. Go ahead. Give fucking guy.
Come on, it's easier to spell out boobies on the calculator.
How much electricity am I saving? You're solar powered. This calculator is solar powered. You don't need to be pulling all these moves to save energy. You're powered by a giant hydrogen ball in the sky. Six is B. It has to live there. Where do you give six?
Six. The only macam, because certain numbers have macam religious implications. Number three has macam the Holy Trinity.
Yep.
Seven ada seven heavens, seven chakras.
Let's talk about seven yet.
Six. The only thing religious implication that I can think of in six ialah rukun iman, enam perkara. And nobody really remembers what rukun iman is. Okay. So implies that it's not very important.
Wow.
Not as important as five, rukun Islam.
Yeah. You can't, because once you have the five, you're in.
Yeah.
The six, you can kind of, you can be forgiven for not knowing you even exist, actually.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna match your rating. It's a solid B.
Solid B. Six, thank you for playing. Seven. Seven appears so much again in gambling. The fruit machine.
Yeah.
If you get triple seven, yeah, triple that's seven. A jackpot.
Yeah, jackpot.
Yeah, and you know, jackpot, seven letters. Seven heaven, 7-Eleven. Seven is one of, I think, a lot of people's favorite letters because for some reason it has a high symbolic value. Like, if you see seven or something, it's some sort of mystical thing. Something about the seven colors of the rainbow. The seven levels of hell, is that a thing? I don't know.
Dante's seven levels of hell.
Yeah, something about seven is like very mystical and powerful, and people really like the number seven. Who's the seven footballer? Is that
Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, Ronaldo seven. So a lot of people like seven, and as a shape, it's cool. 007, James Bond, Bond, Mr. Bond, one happy family at home. And
that line is just bonkers. Mr. Bond, one happy family at home.
That's how it sounds like to me.
I know, but
that's what it sounds like.
It's so bonkers. I love it.
I don't like it. It teaches you gambling. You watch James Bond. Of course you know what gambling is. Shut up. I don't know.
I just want to watch the shooty-shooties.
Yeah, I just want to watch this very, you know, important drama about a guy. And then suddenly Mr. Man. So seven, yeah, 7007. The seventh wonders of the world. It's a lot. It's so powerful. This letter just as a symbol, symbology wise, and numerically, it's pretty good because it is you can line up like a pyramid starting from 4 and then 3. And then 2, and then 1, and then 7 units.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a pyramid with other letters, other numbers, other letters. You can make a pyramid with other numbers also, but like, I think 7 is the first one where it looks nice.
Like a pyramid?
Yeah.
As opposed like to pyramid. 5.
Yeah, 5 doesn't. Yeah, 3, 2, no.
No.
3, okay, but it's not really. It doesn't look cool.
Yeah. It's a two-dimensional.
Yeah, it's 3 is more elemental, less and less numbery, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the first 4 digits are very elemental, but when you get to 7, you can do this kind of moves, and I like it for that reason, and I have to respect it, give it the full respect of the seven layers of cheese,
seven layers of cheese,
the seven continents. Ah, there's it. There it is. That's seven.
Seven seas.
Yeah, seven seas. So the seven is such a special number. Yeah, I gotta give it. What did I give it? S. I gave 0 an S. I think probably. I may have given something else an S, but 7 is so close to an S. It's just for me. It's an odd number. Odd numbers really need to be special to win, and 7 is very special. But numerically, is not great. Numerically. It's annoying actually to deal with as a number.
Actually, sebenarnya, yeah.
If you have 7 of something, It's a bit of annoying.
And also, macam, I remember the times table that I most dreaded was Sifir Tujuh. Because it kind of makes no sense at all to me.
It makes no sense. Yeah, your brain can't do it.
Macam, all these other things, macam ada lagu dia, ada dia punya like cheat code, you know, the nine, yeah, you know, that finger thing. And seven is just by itself freaking havoc. And
seven is the first prime number you get pissed off. Because it's not clean. Like, five doubles up, and every double of five is a 10, and 10 is an even number, so you're cool. Six is not annoying. Three isn't annoying because three is too elemental, right? You double it, you triple it, you it's the base. So you're easy to play with, even though it's an odd number. Seven is the first one where every addition, multiplication, it just looks awkward.
Yeah.
7, 14? Yeah, 7, 14. Oh, okay, even number. 21. 28. What?
Wait.
No, I don't like this.
Sorry.
And then 35.
35.
Yeah.
7.
5. Why is 5 here?
Why is 5 here?
42?
We're 42. Doing 7s. Why is 5 here?
And 49, you just get upset because all of the guys are there. The divide by 3 is in there. The divide by 4 is in there. It's just a mess in the multiplication table. So because of that, I gotta give it only an A, which is really good. You get high 0.7 for like being a symbol outside of math itself sometimes. You know what I mean? People use it in literature and stuff. People who are just, you know, dyscalculic as hell, still use the number 7 to for poetry and for symbology. So shout out to 7 for that. Yeah, what do you put 7?
I, because of how viscerally I remember being scolded for not remembering the times table.
Okay,
I'm gonna go judge with my emotions here and put it at a C.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Macam,
yeah,
okay. 7, you kind of overrated.
There you go.
Because you hurt me personally.
That's what you get, 7.
That's what you get.
It's what you get. You should have thought better. You should not have eaten 9. Why did you do that? We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
We were all rooting for you.
You went and you ate 9.
Why did you 8-9?
What a piece of shit. Speaking of 8-9, 8.
8.
I like it, I gotta say. 8 is the Ong number, you know what I mean? Lucky 8, 88 in the Chinese. You're very Chinese color today with the Ong red. And 8 coming in is good. 8 is... I like 8 because 8 is something you are rich with it. If you got 8, it's an impressive number of anything.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, if you have 6 of something, maybe somebody gave some of that to you. You know what I mean? You have 8 of something, that means you bought all of them yourself, and you're starting a collection.
You can afford that shit.
Yeah, you can afford it. Oh, wow, this guy's... Did you know this guy's 8? Whatever, anything. I think you can put anything and it'll be impressive.
Anything.
This guy got 8 cars. Whoa. This guy got 8 chopsticks.
This
8
guy
kinds
got
of chopsticks. Insane.
This guy got 8 shiny Charizards.
This guy got 8 shiny Charizards. Even one is impressive for that one. Like, something's mundane, like shoes. You got 8 shoes. 8 pairs of shoes. Like, whoa, that's a lot of shoes. I think, you know, some people listening are like, that's not enough. But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about myself.
Talking about you.
So, yeah. 8 slippers is a lot. 8 burgers, you're about to kill somebody, or it's a party. 8 of anything is a lot and is abundant, and it is, you know, the meaning in Chinese is good. And 8 as a even number is fun. It's divisible by 4, divisible by 2, divisible by 2 twice. So, I like it. It is good. It is also a roly-poly kind of number. And then it is adorable in its imbalance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cute, it's jolly, it's almost, not quite, it's almost a snowman.
It's almost a snowman, yeah. Yeah,
and I like that, the jolliness of the number 8.
Yeah, it's just two circles on top of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, one is cute. On top of the other. Yeah.
It's cute. There's 8 planets in the solar system. RIP Pluto. There is 8, and I like that. But as far as symbology goes, that's just that, just being lucky, and just that. As a shape, you can turn it to its side and wear it as a mask. That's cool too.
Yeah, and on its side also is infinity.
Which is the largest number, question mark, of the all.
Question mark. Exactly.
It's not really a number. It's not amount.
A number.
But yeah, so I like it. I like it a lot. But it is also not particularly interesting.
Ooh.
It's not dangerous. You know what I mean?
It's not dangerous.
I'm going to kick myself if I didn't give a 0 a really high rating. 0 is dangerous because you can divide by 0 and break your calculator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not break calculator, but you know what I mean? The calculator will be like, I can't do that.
You can divide by 0 and make your teacher very mad.
Yeah, the calculator will be upset at you. Yeah, I can't do that. You know what I mean? You can break math by dividing by 0. That's dangerous. You can fall into a zero-shaped thing and then die. But 8 is not particularly dangerous as a shape. It's jolly, it's cuddly, and I think math should have some danger to it. Some element of something that gives it power more than we should be able to handle. I think, because numbers are so elemental in our daily lives. So, but 8 is just so cuddly and so divisible. It doesn't feel particularly attractive to me. 8 is, I'm happy to receive anything that is in the shape of 8 or that is itself in 8, but I don't think 8 is that attractive because of this lack of danger. It feels safe. So that's just how I feel about it.
Wow. So you're attracted to danger, lah.
I think it's important for numbers to have elements of danger to it, just specifically for numbers. That's my opinion on numbers. Not necessarily danger, but a point of interest. It's not pointy.
It's not pointy at all. No.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I guess for that, to me, is enough of a for it to sit at a B. I think that's fair. That's fair to give.
I do like that it's safe. Much the way that it kind of looks like a circle that's been hugged.
Yeah.
You know?
It does.
Yeah. It it's adorable and it feels safe and it envelops you. I don't know. I really like it. I actually really like the number 8.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give
you
it.
You like safety, yeah.
I do like safety. Which is why I'm in Singapore, question mark?
Singapore is very safe. Singapore is safe.
Singapore is safe.
Yeah, everything that hurts you in Singapore is self-inflicted. You have control over what hurts you.
Yeah, actually. I do choose. But I do like it a lot, rupa-rupanya. I'm learning things about myself as well in these sessions. So I'm gonna put it at an 8 tier. I really like 8.
Not S, huh?
Not S.
There's a breakthrough to S.
Kalau nak sampai S, I think have to go double digits probably sampai S.
Okay, all right. This guy likes to double up. Okay, that's what you get. 8, an A from Anwar and a B from me. And now we move on to the last and the biggest, 9.
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast? This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And
as lowest salary in a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/primalmonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as $5 a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Picture. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Fairuz, Siti Fatima, and Lukman alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgy pledge. You can cancel any time as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
I like 9. At a certain age, 9 probably. One of my favorite, I would tell you my favorite letter is 9. Like, ooh. In my primary school time, 9 is one of my favorites. Because you can do the finger thing, but I don't know if I relied on the finger thing to do the 9 multiplications.
I learned it way too late.
Yeah, we're demonstrating the finger thing on video. Go to Patreon to see my beautiful fingers. I like 9 a lot because it's divisible by 3 times.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. And 9 has a particular feature that I think my dad taught me. For sure my dad taught me, not I think. My dad taught me this. When you add numbers together, meaning if you see a group of numbers or a phone number, right? And you add all of them together, like you add, let's say, 1 plus 2 and then 2 plus 3, add everything to each other until you get one digit, right? When you do that, to get to the final digit, you have to remove the 9s. Whenever there's a 9, you take it out. Because when, yeah, it's true, because when you add up stuff and then there's 9s, a 9 plus a 9 is 8, it is 18, and 1 plus 8 is always 9. Yeah,
I mean, so this is so close to blowing my mind right now, if only I understood it.
So you have to get rid of 9 to get the final number, because all the numbers that plus 9, if they end up being over 10, yeah, plus each other, there's a 9 in there that you can get rid of. So it's pretty cool. And 9 has cool properties when you multiply it with itself, and also like with... But the number large enough, I think, is it 12 or something? No. Yeah, but 9, when you multiply it over 12, something happens to it where the middle numbers is always a combination of the other two numbers or something. I'm doing a very poor job of describing why I like it math-wise, because I used to be really into math. I remember how I really like triangles in my review of the number 3?
Yeah.
So I like 9 more because 9 is 3 triangles.
3 triangles. Yeah.
And 3 triangles is a triangle of triangles.
Yeah.
And that is the tastiest number.
Yeah.
So for me, I really like 9. 9 is the grid for tic-tac-toe.
Hmm.
9 is also no in German.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah. I really like 9. It's as a number, when 9 appears in math, I would get excited because I can do a lot of little bullshit with it. And I do like it. It is an upside down 6, which to me at the time when I was a kid, really funny. you know, a number like that can turn upside down, become another number, hilarious. how stupid are these people? You know what I mean? Like, none of the letters of the alphabet, if you write it, it's the upside down version of another letter. Shut up, W. W, shut up. I said, shut up. I don't know if you listened to the episode where I reviewed W, but I hate W a lot. But because people don't draw W that they do an upside down M, they give it Sharpie points or they start differently. There's always a way for you to tell that a W isn't really an M. But no other thing. Like, here's how similar 9 is to 6. When you roll a die that starts with a larger number, or like when you, is it rolling? Oh, when there's a card and then it's either 6 or 9, you have to put an underline.
Yeah, underline. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For you to know that it's not an upside down 6, and like I think that's funny, and because of that, I really like 9 a lot. 9 is the last digit of base 10. I really like it. It's I do think there's a version of 9 that doesn't look like an upside down 6. There's like a sharp leg.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, leg. I like that. Yeah, it extends by itself. I like it, even though it's kind of precarious, like the letter P, but for some reason as a number, it's cool for me. I like 9. So 9, I like it so much, I cannot give it lower than an S tier. 9 has to be S. It's up there for me. I love 9.
Tight.
Yeah. Culturally, 9 also appears as a price at the end. 99.
Yeah, you put 99 at the end. 99. 9 payments and 99.
Free 99. You put 99 as a psychological thing. Like 5.99 seems... 5.99 versus 6 ringgit 2 cents. It feels like a 40 ringgit difference. But you know what I mean? As a number. Anyway, so I interrupted you. You were about to say something about 9.
I wanted to relate it to rugby again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I used to play at the number 9 position. Number 9 position in rugby. When it's 15 aside, scrum half. I was a scrum half from 13 years old to 15 years old. And I really like players who wore the number 9 jersey in rugby, because usually they were the smallest in the field. Usually they were the smallest. But they were also kind of like the wiliest and the most ferocious and the most macham. Less aggro, more macham. Cheeky. Ah, there you go. Dia macam dia banyak macam banyak dia punya tips, dia punya tricks.
Oh,
up their sleeve.
Right.
Very wily, cheeky. Yeah. Wily. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And and you know, I really like number 9 as a rugby position. Macam they're always very entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I like number 9. I'm gonna give it an A tier, because I don't know, honestly, the first S tier for me is number 10.
Okay, we can add a bonus one for 10 later, but let's finish our thoughts on 9. Yeah. I do like 9 is S tier. I really like it. 9 as the PH 99 Wally Songo. 99 Names of God. Culturally, 9 also appears great. The 9th wonder of the world. You say it when you want to sound even more impressive than 7. Yeah, you know what I mean? You turn it up, turn things up to 9, just one shy away from the maximum. Tech 9. You carry a 9.
Yeah, play to a 9.
Yeah, it's great. I like it. I love it. 9, S tier. Shout out to 9.
Yes.
We've invited this now for 10. 10 is not part of it, but we're here now. Let's talk about it. What is it about 10 that you like so much that becomes S tier?
To me, mostly because for most of my rugby career, I played number 10.
Okay.
I played
sentimental.
Yeah, it's sentimental. As I feel all of my ratings throughout the series has been.
That's fine.
Yeah. And macam number 9 is really fun to watch, but number 10 is always like, whether or not a team is good, usually depends on whether or not the number 10 is good. If the number 10 is good, then a worse team gets better. And if the number 10 is bad, a better team becomes worse.
It's interesting.
Because, you know, they're like the brains of the operation. They're the playmaker, let's say that's
the kingmakers.
Nah, the kingmakers. And I don't know. I was privileged enough to be able to play at the number 10 position for a decade. For 10 years.
Okay.
And just the number 10 visually, it just seems so stable to me. It's almost like, even though it's a 1 and a 0, it kind of looks like a square to me. And it looks like it won't fall.
Okay, together, unit.
Yeah, together they won't fall. Macam satu saja senang saja nak jatuh, kosong saja boleh roll around. But 1 and 0, they won't go anywhere. They're just gonna stay there. It's really stable.
Yeah,
and 10 out of 10. I was talking to a 10.
Perfect 10.
Perfect 10.
Yeah,
I don't know. 10 10 10 10 10 10 Ben 10.
Yeah,
and I don't know, I really like the number 10. Anytime I have worn a jersey for any reason at all, I have always insisted to want to wear the number 10.
Okay.
And it's just, I don't know why I have such a kinship to it. The number 10.
I think, to me, like, it's not too fair to, like, it's based, we're on base 10. And, of course, because of that, 10 is important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are all basing our math completely on this number. That's why.
Yeah.
We have 10 fingers, 10 toes, and then we're doing everything base 10. And that's why the 10 multiplication table is cake.
Cake was at zeros.
And 10 is, it feels full because it's the whole deal. Because, 10 fingers. Yeah, right? It's very basic, literally base 10. And that's why 10 is an easy number to lock in our heads. It is, to many of us, the largest number we know when we were first taught numbers.
Yeah.
And it's the crescendo to the song you teach a kid, right? 9, 10!
Yeah, the kid's like, 10 is a celebration.
Yeah. 10 is a big deal. You enter second digits, you enter double digits, suddenly you will be double digits for most of your life.
Yeah.
And this is the first double digit you will enter into, and it feels like such a big deal.
Mm-hmm,
10
mm-hmm.
years is a great number of years for you to be a person for. And you change. Every 10 years, you're different people, you're a different person, doing different things, thinking different things, believing different things. So, as a number is big, it feels big, and it feels heavy and important. And I understand why you would give it an S. I can't rate this one, because it feels like, what does it feel like? Rating 10 itself on base 10. Feels like rating a pie contest, pie making competition, and the inventor of pie is there. You know what I mean? Like, who can make the best KFC imitation? And then our 10th contestant, Colonel Sanders. We can't do it. You have to throw it out of competition.
Elvis impersonation contestant, and our candidate number 10, Elvis Presley himself.
Yeah, you can't do it. It's completely unfair, because the whole competition is based around that. So I can't rate this guy here. But if I was to give this 10 a number, it's so, to me, again, you can guess, I think, because of how safe 10 is.
Oh, yeah.
And how, quote, useful it is in our decimal system and our whole metric system is 10.
Yeah.
It's based on 10. 100 centimeters to a meter, you know.
Yeah, 10 yeah, millimeters to a centimeter. Yeah.
All that is all based 10. It's too much in the culture and it's too safe, it's too privileged, it's too mainstream.
Yeah.
It's the mainstreamness of 10. I cannot.
It's so basic.
It's literally base 10. It's basic, the basic. Yeah. 10. I have to put 10 as C because of this.
I completely understand that.
So, I imagine if we are a world steeped in 12, 12 would get C for me. Alas, we're Faham? Not.
We're
yeah,
not.
So, yeah, we are here where so we 12, are.
12 is the dangerous one in this one.
Right now.
In this reality,
in this reality, in our channel, while we flip through interdimensional cable. So, yeah, here we are. Thank you, everybody, for following me through this journey of reviewing numbers. What do you want me to review next? Let me know via Instagram. Message me. I'm available on the @MZKRX on the inbox. Thank you for your support over at patreon.com/pinballmonkeys. More content soon, as soon as I wriggle myself out of particular situations. sooner than you think. We have some projects in the pipeline. Thank you for your support. Follow me over on the Instagram @MZKRX for updates on shows and other fun material. What do you want the people to know?
I want the people to know that I love them.
Oh.
And that they are valued.
Yes.
And that suffering is fine. Suffering is fine, you guys.
Yeah, suffering is part of it.
It's part of it.
Okay. This has been a Mental Pacha Podcast. Be kind to each other. I love you. Bye.